You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bill Flash, Tim Kalishaw, Israel Gutierrez, woo-hoo! Clinton Yates. Look at my man here. Run the damn ball. That's Brett Favre in the precinct. But was he right? Did the Colts lose because they lost track of Jonathan Taylor? And speaking of losing track, when you line up over your guard. Oh, boy. Let's go. I mean, his running back knew it. The team knew it.
You're forgetting something, Tony. You're forgetting something.
What am I forgetting, Bill Flaschke?
My guard knew it.
What do you mean?
USC's got a new football coach.
Oh, we're going to start there. Let's start with college. First, look at the numbers, all right? Cincinnati can taste it. Michigan is eating. Alabama, they could have lost Saturday. They could lose out, and you know they're still going to put them in there. We're going to get to that in a second, but we start, yes, Bill Flaschke, with Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma for USC. It's a stunner. I know you people. Deep down in places, you don't talk about at parties. You all love living in Southern California over living in Oklahoma. I get that. But talk to me about the college football landscape now, Bill Flaschke, that Lincoln Riley's leaving Oklahoma to go to Southern California.
Pinch me, Tony. Just pinch me. This is unbelievable. The best young coach in America, the top five brand in college football in America, the entertainment capital of America. This is a match made in Hollywood. This is perfect. This is exactly what USC needed. This is a home run swing. He's won 85% of his games, so he wins. He recruits. There's already kids leaving Oklahoma to try to be with him. He coaches quarterbacks better than anybody else. You know, Mayfield, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray. And he's got the whole attitude, the whole culture he's bringing to USC is just begging for it. They're gonna win right away, Tony. He's going to get there. They're going to win
here
right
we go.
Away.
All right. It's already over, Flaschke.
No, not over yet. But they're going to win right away.
Tim Kalishaw.
You know, Oklahoma has been winning the Big 12 every year except this year since Lincoln has been there. They've been going to the college football playoff three times. USC has never seen one of those, so it's going to be a little shock to the system for them if they get in.
Oh.
It's an odd move. It's a very odd move. But if you look at where Oklahoma is going and you say, where does this team fit in with Alabama, Georgia, Florida, A&M, mm-hmm. LSU, and all the rest, and you see Pac-12, oh, Oregon is 10 and Utah is 14, and that is it for the top 25. I can go to USC. I can rebuild that thing. I can resurrect the entire Pac-12. That is what Lincoln is thinking.
Israel Gutierrez, the college football landscape with Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma for Southern California.
It's an odd move. It's an odd move because, you know, you feel like going to the SEC as a coach, you would want to do that. It feels like he's running away from the SEC. As far as I've been alive, there has been one coach of consistent consequence at USC, and that was Pete Carroll. And remind me, when he left there, was it because there was institutional control or because there was a lack of institutional control? I believe it was the latter, right? So there's a way of winning at USC. Apparently, Pete Carroll is the only one who knew how. So to me, it just doesn't make much sense when you've got a roster, 4-7 this year, a roster that doesn't look very good. Yeah, you might get some people, you know, decommitting from Oklahoma and heading to your school, but is it going to turn around right away? No. Is it going to turn around in year two? That's what had happened for Pete Carroll. That's what is probably going to have to happen for Lincoln Riley, for recruits across the country to say, okay, this is going to be a long-term great program.
Right, but you call it an odd move, and now Clinton Yates, how do you see it?
I still think that the brand of Southern Cal is big enough for this guy to make an impact immediately. What you talked about, Izzy, Pete Carroll and him leaving, they've been dealing with the fallout of that ever since then, between athletic directors, between coaches, mm-hmm. between everybody else who's in that front sort of deal in terms of what they're doing. This guy's an actual football coach that's got people excited. You talk about Jackson Dart, who's already there. He could be bringing other people with him. I think this is a great move for college football overall, and I think it's a smart move for a guy like Lincoln Riley who did not want to be a part of going to the muddled SEC. He wants to be his own man, and this is a place where he can do it.
You're sure that that's the case as well, that the Oklahoma's move to the SEC then makes this happen. Bill Flaschke, what are you hearing about that?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. USC thought they never had a chance at this guy. Then they realized, they learned he was disgruntled by the move to the SEC. He felt disenchanted, disengaged from the program. He didn't want to go to the SEC. USC saw the opening, moved in, swooped in, hit the home run.
Gates' last word.
And yeah, listen, this was the worst USC team ever. The Bruins of UCLA, their crosstown rival, put up 60 on them, all right? They needed something to get them back in the right direction. 62. This is about as good of a signing.
You think it's instantaneous? Plug in Lincoln Riley, contend for the national title next year? Bill Plaschke thinks so?
No.
Clinton Yates?
Yes. You're not so much, but I think they can win the
Pac-12. Sean shaking his head no. All right.
Top 15 next year.
Let's not fast forward to the playoff yet, because that would give short trip to Michigan's moment and Harbaugh's moment. Hassan Haskins' feast on Saturday. Let's get in this game. To finally give it to Ohio State and for Michigan to prove Smash Mouth can win, and to have every single person in Ann Arbor on the field. I thought that was a nice touch, too. Tim, what did Jim Harbaugh and Michigan just do?
They did the impossible, at least I thought so. And I don't mean just beating Ohio State. I mean hitting him in the mouth. I mean no losses. Nobody tackled for a one-yard loss the entire game. Ohio State is a great team. Ryan Day has continued a great program. It's essentially a flag football team with great wide receivers and a quarterback, and they can score 50 on people. But Michigan just ran it down their throats, and they stuffed them at the on the other side of the ball. When it's snowing, you need to win in the trenches, and Ohio State got slaughtered in the trenches.
Big Ten 101
did not
right
to
here.
See it from the Wolverines.
After failing for so many years, they don't put the ball in the air. They're not moving it. Israel Gutierrez, I believe flag football was invoked. Go, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I'm so glad that Tim has invoked flag football. Look, I do think that Michigan, though, has this as an identity clearly, right? They're the ninth best rushing team in the country. And at this point in the season, if you can do what they did to Ohio State, a great passing team, enough defense there, and that great Hassan Haskins, that running attack, that is something that can win at this time of the year. It's certainly that something that they can carry over and be a top four team. There is no overwhelming team out there outside of Georgia right now. So that performance Michigan put on after what Ohio State did to Michigan State, I mean, that tells me they are legitimately a semifinal team.
Clinton Yates, you heard Kalashaw Shaw and now Israel Gutierrez say the Smash Mouth football wins in the Big Ten. Well, it hadn't won for Michigan for the last decade against Ohio State. Go ahead.
Right. Our colleague Ryan McGee calls it tractor pull football, which is something we enjoy a lot. And I think that this team had every single thing lined up for them in the right situation. Snow game at home means the most. He's got to win one in terms of Harbaugh. I don't know that this makes them a top four team by default. I'm not saying they couldn't stay with these guys, but I'm not automatically jumping them just because they beat them in this spot. It was a perfect storm of conditions, and they showed up and played well. You got to be proud if you're a Wolverines fan.
Tick, tick. Wait a second. They don't jump Ohio State in the rankings for you?
No. I'm saying you don't trade places with them in the rankings and then immediately move them to number two. I think that they could be a top four team for sure, but I don't think all of a sudden they just switch slots is what
Bill
I'm saying.
Bill Plaschke.
Well, I think this is one of the biggest wins of the year, 299 yards rushing. I can't wait to see the Michigan offensive line against the Georgia defensive line. That's what we're going to see. Georgia hasn't faced a line like that. They're going to make the semifinals. There's no question about that. And I think they can contend for a championship playing this kind of football because nobody else is doing this anymore. Nobody's playing this kind of muddle, smash down your throat football. Nobody's doing this. Nobody's this physical.
Remember you said this. You guys fall in love. Oh, Lincoln Riley's going to bring the offense to USC. They're going to contend immediately. This is going to be great. And now you just said you wanted to be muddied up. Bill Plaschke. Oh, man.
I'm inspired.
One more question from Saturday. Was Alabama exposed by Auburn? Those first 58 minutes, I mean, this is, they needed every second of the four overtimes. They needed the four very collegiate overtimes to beat a mediocre Auburn team, Israel. Was Alabama exposed?
Not really. I mean, look, we say it all the time about rivalry games. Well, this is the one rivalry game where it's just kind of shocking almost every time that they play. You never really know if it's going to be a blowout or if it's going to be close. All of Alabama thought this was going to be a blowout game, and it wasn't. And so I don't think they're exposed. However, you see what a great defense and a great defensive front can do, and facing Georgia in the SEC title game, that looks like it's going to be a blowout. It honestly looks like Georgia should be favored by a couple of touchdowns here. And if that happens, if Alabama loses and those are their two losses, they're not in those finals.
Clinton Yates.
What did Saban say earlier this week? That a lot of Alabama fans are a little too self-important because they expect blowouts every single week. Alabama won this game. Let's not forget that, okay? And they're still Alabama. I'm not betting against a Saban-prepared team in a championship situation when it comes down to the SEC and that medal.
What was the malfunction this week? You have to admit that they didn't look like
Yeah, their offense couldn't get moving. I mean, that happens. But what I'm saying is that you said it took every second. Well, they used every second, and they came away with the W. I'm not going to get mad at a team for winning
Bill Plaschke.
Alabama won the game, but they lost the benefit of the doubt. They lost any chance. They have to beat Georgia now. A two-loss Alabama team will not make the playoffs.
Sure about
that,
Bill?
They had seven. I'm sure that. I guarantee that. They had 17 plays of 0 yards or less against a mediocre Auburn team. Their offensive line was terrible. 7 sacks. This is not a championship team.
Tim Tallis show.
Guaranteed.
Well, it's a team that went, 98 yards with no timeouts to do what they had to do and then win it in overtime. So, yeah, they had a rough first three quarters, and then they got it together, did what they had to do. Alabama as an underdog. We're not really used to seeing Nick Saban in that role. I think that's going to be a much more interesting game than Mr. Plaschke can do.
If they take it down to the last second and lose to Georgia, Bill Plaschke, you really think the committee's going to flick Alabama away to bring in Oklahoma State, Notre Dame?
Yes, I think a two-loss Alabama team now has lost the benefit of the doubt after what happened in Auburn. Yes, I believe that's to be true.
One more story here. Baseball news of the day. Max Scherzer to the Mets. 3 years, $130 million. It's $43 million a season, which is the highest per-season contract in baseball history by 20%. Clinton Yates, what did the Mets just do? What did Max Scherzer just do?
I think what the Mets get with him is a guy and a clubhouse leader that's going to eliminate things like booing fans and blaming the media when you can't win. However, at this price, at that age, that is a lot of cash. Why couldn't you give Marcus Stroman that money? Separate question, though. I do think that the labor element here is a big deal. That 20% increase in AAV in terms of what he's getting as a pitcher right now says a lot in those negotiations, and he's big as far as a union guy. This is an important signing in Major League Baseball.
Why can't you get Marcus Stroman that money? Are you saying Marcus Stroman and Max Scherzer are the same type of pitcher?
No, I'm saying one guy's younger and he's shown a lot in terms of what he's already been to that franchise and is a leader in that clubhouse. It seems to me that that's somebody that you could have probably kept around as well, but that's just
Plaschke.
Yeah, there's no comparison, Clayton. This was a great sign by the Mets. Scherzer was the Dodgers were 11-0 when he pitched at the last 2 months of the season, 1.98 ERA. He was the best pitcher at the end of the season, and he's a pitcher who keeps himself in great shape, and he protects his body so much that he was willing to beg out of game 6 of the playoffs because he didn't want to hurt his arm.
So that doesn't make sense.
But still, this guy is worth the money. He was the best pitcher in baseball probably throughout the whole season.
$43 million at age 38, 39, 40. Tim Kalishaw, did the Mets get this right?
Yeah, they did, because huge contracts are only a problem when the years are too much. This is only 3 years, and it might only be two. The Mets have the richest owner in baseball. He's not going to have to turn down the air conditioner in the Hamptons. He's going to be fine. And now they put out him and DeGrom out there. They're gonna make a run at it.
And Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, this isn't one of those 7 or 8 year deals where you've got to worry about that longevity of it. And you look at his recent injuries, it's like, you know, a sore hamstring here, a muscle here. It's no serious signs that says, hey, this guy's going to fall off in his, you know, late 30s right now. So I think it's a great
thing. You want a last word?
He said, my arm is dead in the World Series. That's a pretty serious
concern,
guys.
Because he pitched in the playoffs in relief. Because he saved the
pitch. $43 million is more than the Pirates and more than the Orioles will have potentially on their opening day roster right now. But if you're worried, if you're a Mets fan saying, how can they give this guy 3 years when he's this old? They still got 14 more years of Bobby Bonilla. We'll be back. Buy or sell next.
Don't forget the Tom Glavine signing. Tommy Glavine situation.
Around the Horn is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by Hanes. Hanes, get comfy in the Total Support Pouch with separation and support.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
All right, Bill Plaschke, if you thought this was the week the Rams were going to prove they are who you thought they were and they are who they thought they were, they aren't who they weren't were. Packers 36, Rams 28. Jalen Ramsey says he's shocked at the way they're playing and they're way too good to be in a three-game losing streak. Bill, floor is yours.
This is about Matthew Stafford. 6 turnovers in 3 games. Three pick sixes in 3 games. If this were Jared Goff, everyone would be ripping him. Sean McVay would be calling him out. They'd be talking about training. They'd be publicly crucifying him. But no, it's Matthew Stafford. He's the reason. Aaron Rodgers has 3 pick sixes in his whole career.
Tim Kalishaw.
I love it when LA people are dismayed to learn that Matt Stafford might lose big games from time to time. Ooh. But I think yesterday was really about the Rams' overrated defense. Yes, they have 2 or 3 superstars, but they are not a good defensive unit. Week after week, we see it all the time.
Real?
They're a wild card team.
Matthew Stafford is not their biggest problem whatsoever. And just in yesterday's game, what they gave up, almost 40 to this team. I think 3 of the first 4 Packers drives were inside the Rams 40. Their punt returners weren't helping them at all. Cooper Kupp was afraid of the ball one time and it landed at the 1. This was not the game to blame Matthew Stafford, but I'm with Tim here. That defense needs to perform a lot better. Those names say that defense should be
Lynn
better.
Yates.
A lot of people put Sean McVay on a pedestal as a genius after that Super Bowl run a couple years back. But when this team gets down double digits, they can't win. They're 1-4 this season. Their clock management is a disaster. Last week, they botched it when they could have gone for it. They went for it unnecessarily at the end of the first half and took away points. The 2-minute drill in this last game was terrible. They need to figure this out from the top because they don't seem to be an organized football team.
So you say McVay problem. Plaschke says it's a Stafford problem. Bill, I'll give you the last word in L.A.
Lincoln Riley's coming to town. How about that, Tony?
Okay.
Not fixing the Rams.
Buy or sell 2, Tampa 38, Indy 31. My man right here. Run the damn ball. The question here is, why did Indy wait until the last drive to go to Jonathan Taylor? Colts were right there. They were ahead of the Bucs the whole game. Wentz was better than Brady the whole game, Tim. Buy or sell Frank Reich and the Colts blowing it by not going to Taylor more.
I think they did a bit. Now, they were scoring points, and you understand that Tampa Bay has been good the last couple of years stopping the run. Not as good this year as they were a year ago, but when you got the best runner in the NFL and you saw what he did at the end, you feel like they could have done that a little more, a little earlier, gotten more out of it.
They only called the design run on 27% of their plays. Now, I understand Tampa Bay having a strong defensive front and stopping the run, but you've got to give your guy, probably the best running back active right now, you got to give him more chances than that, like a quarter of your plays, and that wasn't all to him either. So, yeah, I think they might have scaled back a little too much and didn't see the guy with the hat in time.
Yates.
Yeah, that's the rosiest look I think you can say on it, is that they thought they could win this game without having to go to him, although that proved not to be the case. And I do think there's something to be said for that. The Colts have improved. Wentz looks decent now. And I say, considering what he came, the fanfare he came with, this team is probably going to make the playoffs, which is not necessarily something I believe.
They are 500 right now. They lost this game. They led for most of it, Bill Plaschke. Did you question how they play Jonathan Taylor in this one?
Not as much as Tim did. Tim, that wasn't based on the fact that you've got him on your fantasy team, is it? I don't know anything about that. Let's give the Bucs credit. They're gearing up like they geared up this time last year. They have a great run defense. I think the story is the Bucs are coming back to where they used to be.
Black. Went to the low blows there, calling out Kalishaw's fantasy team. Not going to work for you, it's Ruben Gutierrez as well. Clint, real quick, hold up your hand for a second. Are you holding a pencil? But the pencil,
yes, this is Crayola,
doesn't even
Crayola
have a
brown
point on it. So what's
no,
the point?
Wrong. It's a colored pencil for the holidays when you can play with your children and make nice, lovely designs to give to your family.
Kalishaw Yates showdown next. There's no point on that pencil. There's no point. No point. No. No point.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Around the Horn is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
The Tennessee Titans were the one seed in the AFC, but they are a mash unit right now. But don't let that distract from the mashing New England's doing of everybody they go up against. Six-game win streak. Those wins are against the Jets, Chargers, Panthers, Browns, Falcons, and Titans. Some might say subpar. But the point differential is super par. Basically 35-10 every game. Tim, are you with the win streak being subpar or super par here for New England?
It's becoming super par. If you're asking, is there one AFC team that's really good, it is the New England Patriots. I think the Chiefs will be that in January. Not now, just New England.
Glenn Yates.
Since week 7, this defense is first in sacks, interceptions, and pressure rate, as well as their system quarterback is running a great system. They're just a good team right now.
System quarterback. I see what you're doing there, Clinton Yates. You're putting it out there a little bit. We'll split the point right now. We'll move on. The AFC North. What are you doing with the AFC North? Bengals ripped the Steelers, and the Browns-Ravens Sunday night was hideous. Lamar Jackson, 4 picks, 1 win. Baltimore now the one seed in the conference, but are they even the one seed in their division, Clint Yates?
I think they still are. The Lamar Jackson show is still the best show in America, not named this one. I can't count that guy out. But the Bengals, Joe Burrow is founded. I love this team.
That Lamar show was a little rough last night, Clinton. No, give me Joe Burrow. Give me a healthy Joe Burrow as the best quarterback in the division. Bengals defense getting better. Cincinnati's going to win it.
It's getting tight, going into showdown 3. Somebody's got to want the win here. There's a stat going around about the only team in the NFL that had a lead of 7 points in every game. You know what team that is? It's this team right here, the team with the quarterback that lines over guard, Kirk Cousins. He explained it like this. We just didn't get set, lined up properly. Play clock was running down. Everybody was moving, and I'm lined up under the wrong guy. Tim, does that explain it?
No, here's the thing. If that was Kyler Murray, who spends all day in the shotgun, maybe we'd understand. Kirk Cousins is under center a higher percentage of snaps than any quarterback in the league. He ought to know which guy is the center.
I remember many years back for the Washington football team at the end of a half when Kirk Cousins was trying to get a scoring play going, and instead of spiking the ball, he kneeled it. Thus running out the clock. Sorry, Kirk. That explanation doesn't make any sense.
It certainly doesn't make any sense now.
So he's got a reel, is what you're saying. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Clinton Yates has got a real FaceTime right now, 30 seconds.
Coming up next week, we've got championship weekend in college football, which means that there's a lot of open dates for schools that aren't in those games. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't allow schools to schedule games that weekend. If Notre Dame and Oklahoma State want to play a game, why not? We figured out that the bloom was off the rose in terms of all that scheduling nonsense during COVID. You can just show up to a campus and play. It's happened before. Let them play, and everybody makes money. Makes sense.
Great idea. I guess Notre Dame, Ohio State would be because they're not playing in the conference. Yeah. All right. Wow. Clint Yates.
Lincoln Riley's coming to
Dorian. We'll see you tomorrow.
Happy Hour is presented by Captain Morgan. Drink responsibly.